Time to take a look at prescription eyeglasses now with Jim LaLuzerne of De Pere, Wisconsin. He spent 45 years in the optics industry. He's been president and CEO of five optics-related companies, including the largest optical laboratory network in the world and the largest U.S. distributor of optical goods to wholesale laboratories. He's also past president of the National Optical Laboratories Association and is an inductee in the Optical Hall of Fame. And we've had him on a couple times now and really enjoyed having him with us. And we've gotten lots of great questions. And you may have some questions about eyeglasses as well as we visit with him today. And I hope you do. If you do, give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. And you can email us at talk@wpr.org. Jim, welcome back.
My pleasure.
Nice to have you with us today. You know, I've been dealing with sort of over-the-counter glasses for a long time, and I now have a couple of new pairs of glasses, one that you helped me out with here, and what a difference it makes to have prescription glasses for reading or for doing the normal things as opposed to a pair of readers.
Well, Larry, the over-the-counter readers, as I've mentioned in one of the previous programs, are acceptable for a number of people. They fill the bill, I guess, in a pinch. But over-the-counter readers are a number of factors that are different than prescription reading glasses. And if you go to the doctor and ask for prescription reading glasses, the number one thing is that the prescription in each eye is different. Over-the-counter reading glasses is the same prescription in both lenses, and very few people have that need. So that's one thing if you get a prescription pair of reading glasses. Also, the distance between the optical center of the lenses are supposed to match the distance between the centers of your eyes. And if you get over-the-counter readers, they use an average PD, they call that, pupillary distance. And that very seldom matches exactly what the person needs. Also, if you have any astigmatism, it's not corrected in over-the-counter readers, and well over half the people have some kind of astigmatism. And then, generally speaking, the quality of the frames are not prescription-quality frames. They can't be adjusted as well. You also don't have the best quality lens materials, and you also can't get AR coatings or some of the other coatings that you might get in a pair of prescription glasses. So many people are compromised in all of those areas. And if you're like me and you like to sit down and read for a long period of time, and you get tired, a lot of people get tired reading and they don't know what's causing it. It's because their eyes are tired from working extra hard.
Astigmatism, by the way, what is astigmatism?
Well, astigmatism is when you have a different power on a different axis of your eye. So typically, if you got a pair of reading glasses, you might get a +2 power, and there's 2 diopters of power, and that power runs over this whole surface of the lens. If you have astigmatism, usually the cornea of your eye is not spherical. It has a different curve on one axis. And in order to compensate for that, the glasses are made in such a way that the curve of the lenses is adjusted so that it makes the image spherical. So it undoes what your eye does in the process. And some people have very, very severe astigmatism that literally distorts things. And you cannot correct that with anything except a pair of glasses that are made for that.
Precisely for it, yeah. Well, you mentioned lens and lens materials. You know, we call them glasses, and I guess we probably call them glasses in a way because probably the first ones were made of glass. Is that right? What's the history on this?
Well, glass lens materials started back hundreds and hundreds, almost 1,000 years. It was the material that they had. the plastic materials began to be used in optics in the 1950s.
Hmm.
And today in the U.S., there's less than 5% of all eyeglasses made are made with glass lenses. Some and many offices won't even sell a pair for safety reasons. They're just not as safe. Many companies for their industrial safety eyeglasses will not allow a pair of glass lenses. Polycarbonate is generally considered the most impact-resistant lens. It weighs less than half the weight of glass. You can hit it with a hammer and you can't break it. The optical quality is, in many cases, superior to a glass lens.
I have purchased some Adidas glasses. Those were, and they were, be perfectly honest, they were kind of expensive, but they're so light.
Yes.
And they hold on my head, even though they don't pinch, but they hold.
Yeah, well, there's two factors in terms of comfort of glasses. One, the frame itself needs to be a lightweight material, and it needs to fit you properly. And that's there's a wide variation in people, and of course, that you need somebody to help you with that. The other part of it, and one of the biggest issues, is the lens themselves. And you mentioned that I've been in the optical business a long time. Early on, glass lenses were a problem because many, many people just, you couldn't make them light enough for people until plastic lenses came along. And while glass lenses were one of the only things available, some people might remember back into the 60s and the early 70s when the great big lenses, you know, that was the fashion, these monster. You see some movies sometimes, I see in the old movies on television, and these people got these monster glasses. Well, they not only had really big lenses, but they were made out of glass. And you just couldn't do it. You couldn't make them comfortable. It was the fashion, but that wasn't a good choice. And so the plastic lens materials today are, almost all of them are less than half the weight of glass, some even more so. They are high-index materials, many of them, which allows you to get a thinner lens and get the same prescription, and the safety is much greater with the lenses. So we have some very good materials today that meet the needs of just about anybody.
Yeah. Jim LaLuzerne, our guest today, as we talk with him about prescription eyeglasses. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. Or if you're in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. One of the things I know I've asked for, I've gotten some sort of hardening material of some sort that supposedly, or some material that supposedly makes the glasses less prone to scratching.
Yes. Yeah. Well, there's some really, I'll tell you an old joke about when they first started getting, this is a long time ago, when they had scratch-resistant lenses. Someone asked me, he said, well, what does that mean, scratch-resistant? And I said, well, they still scratch, but they don't want to. Now, that's not the case so much today anymore. The scratch resistance of the better materials today make them less scratch resistant than glass, or more scratch resistant than glass. So you can actually less likely to scratch than a glass lens. And the materials are applied a very sophisticated system using a process where they have to etch the material first, and they dip it in some cases. Sometimes it's a spin coating, and the material actually has very, very small particles of silica in silica-like product that's in a plastic base. It's really quite remarkable, the scratch resistance that they have. But in addition to that, they have hydrophobic coating that keeps the smudge and water off. They have anti-static properties, so you don't get dust on them. And anti-reflection coatings to keep reflections off to help you see better with the lenses. So there's some very beneficial technology today for people that wear glasses. And, you know, I'm one of these people that likes to really see clearly. I mean, it's important to me. I've got a high-definition television, and I like to watch it clearly. And so I really want the best that I can possibly have. And I know so many people over the years that I've spoken to that are settling for something less than what they should have. They think that that's all they can get. And if they, you know, if they go talk to their doctor, their dispenser, and tell them about their needs, in the great majority of cases, people can be much more comfortable and see better if they really want to take the time and effort to do it.
One of the things I've noticed out on the golf course, I can actually see the flight of the ball. frankly, all the way to the end. Whereas prior to, you know, these glasses, I, you know, you lose track of the ball.
Sure. Even a small prescription, that detail, as things get smaller in the distance.
Makes a huge difference.
It makes a big difference, yes.
Well, lots of callers online. Janine in Minocqua, your turn. Hi, Janine. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question for you. Last year, I went to the eye doctor and had my eyes checked and got a new prescription. And while I was there, I wanted a prescription for contacts. And the eye doctor said, you don't need them. Your eyes have changed. You're now monovision, so I'm not going to do that, and you shouldn't bother. And your eyes are okay for driving. And I went, what? I just wasn't happy with that response, but they ushered me out the door, and I thought, well, that's the last time I'm coming here.
Well, that may be the right response, but you got no glasses at all?
Well, I got new glasses.
But he didn't want to give you, or he or she didn't want to give you
contact lenses.
Contact lenses.
Right. And the reason they said was, well, your eyes are now monovision, and you don't even need to wear your glasses for driving. And I've been wearing them since I was 16 for driving.
And you're wearing the new glasses that you got for driving now?
It's the same pair.
Well, I mean, it's the same pair. They didn't want to give you any new glasses.
We'll ponder that
for
a moment. Stay listening, Janine. We'll think about that some more. Our guest today, Jim LaLuzerne of De Pere, Wisconsin, expert in prescription eyeglasses. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network. Talking prescription eyeglasses now. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Jim LaLuzerne of De Pere, Wisconsin, past president of the National Optical Laboratories Association and inductee in the Optical Hall of Fame. And I tell you what, we're having a good time talking with him about prescription glasses. You may want to join in at 800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890. And Jim, we had Janine on from Minocqua, who had a problem, went to the eye doctor and wanted to get contacts. And the doctor said, well, you've got monovision, so we're not going to give them to you.
I'm not fully understanding what it is that he's telling her, and I guess the best advice I can give to anybody that goes to any eye doctor or dispenser, if you don't fully understand it, ask more questions. If you still don't understand it, go to someone else and have them explain what the issue is. I don't either she needs glasses or she doesn't need glasses. And if she needs glasses, in the great majority of the cases, contact lenses would be a good alternative. So I can't tell you much more than that one.
It's a mystery.
Yeah, it is a mystery.
Gene in Oshkosh has a question or comment. Hi, Gene.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Jim. I go all the way back to when I was 13 and my two pharmacist uncles would prescribe lenses. I got a question. I was calling in about the time you were talking about scratch resistant. I have always worn glass lenses simply because I like the scratch resistance of the glass, and also it seems to me that glass is much more cleanable than plastic is. Would you address that, and if there is a plastic lens that is as or approaches the scratch-resistant quality and cleanability of glass, I'd like to know about that, please.
Sure.
That's a very good question, and I think that there are a lot of people that the reason that there's any glass lenses around today is because there's people like you that were happy with them. My guess is that your glasses are not very heavy, or you would be willing to part with the glass lenses just for the weight. But today, as I said, there are a whole lot of high-tech solutions for scratch resistance, and they are a combination of smudge resistance and scratch resistance. And with a smudge-resistant coating on a lens today, it is much easier to clean even than a bare glass lens. A specific name I could give you that most people know is Scotchgard. Scotchgard is a 3M name that's used right. in a number of different things, and they've teamed up with one of the large optical companies to produce a product that has scratch resistance as well as smudge resistance on the lens, and it's an excellent product.
Hmm. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it, Gene. Jeremy in Wrightstown, it's your turn. Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, good morning, Larry. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for having me. I just wanted to call because I'd been listening a couple of years ago to a radio show down when I was living in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm a father of four, and they were the beneficiaries of my amblyopia and poor vision. So all of us wear glasses just about in our family, and we were looking for something low cost. And when I was overseas, I saw, you know, they were selling glasses for $10 a pair. You could go into a store and buy a pair of glasses for the equivalent of about 10 American dollars. And I thought, there's got to be some way to do that here in the States. And when I was listening to this show, the show referred us to a website called zennioptical.com. And it was Z-E-N-N-I, optical.com. And we went on there, and I ordered a couple of pairs of glasses for myself and one for my son. And the total bill came to about $50 for three pairs of glasses. And I know it sounds too good to be true, but I just wanted to share with all the listeners out there that this site exists because we're completely satisfied with our glasses. They're excellent. They look good, and they're cheap. So I don't think you can ask more than that.
Can I ask, you got an eye exam someplace, I'm assuming, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
And you've got the prescription from them.
Uh-huh.
And are these single vision lenses that you are able to get?
You can get everything from single vision all the way to progressive.
Okay. Single vision, to do what you did with single vision is not too big of a stretch. I mean, if you got an eye examination and your eyes have been checked for eye health and that's been, you're comfortable with that, and if you get all of the information properly to them, including the PD, which is not usually part of a prescription.
Right.
If you get all that information and they and you're happy with the glasses, in single vision, I can understand. If you got into a multifocal, then you're trying to get a frame, you're trying to get fitting height. There's other things that need to be done. So I'm happy you were successful in doing that. You're probably one of a small group of people that could be happy with that, but good luck.
Thanks a lot.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Zeddy Optical. All right, Jennifer in Wanakee, it's your turn. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Larry and Jim. Thank you so much for your program.
Sure.
Hey, I'm calling actually to get Jim's thoughts on glasses in young children. I get the feeling that once you put glasses on young children, there's no chance of kind of going back and having their eyes get better. And I have a 5-year-old who was just diagnosed with farsightedness and a moderate astigmatism. And the doctor kind of left it in our court whether we give him glasses or just wait 6 months and see if things change.
Well, it must have been a relatively low prescription that the doctor saw, or I don't think he would have given you much of a choice. If they're a little bit farsighted and a little bit of astigmatism, that could affect their ability to read. They're probably seeing in the distance just far, but if they're at the age at 5, they're starting to read, look at picture books and things like that. There might be a little bit of difficulty in seeing, but again, it sounds like the prescription isn't very much. I think it's wise to keep on top of it. Myopia, you know, you said he's farsighted, but myopia is the opposite. There was a question last time about progressive myopia and whether glasses caused that. And there's no evidence that it causes it, but it's a factor that there's sometimes people need glasses for distance, and they, and especially through their teenage years, it gets progressively stronger and stronger. It doesn't sound like your child is in that area. And
no, you know, but he can't see far either. Is it that he can't see far because of the astigmatism? Like the far reading was a 30 in the right eye and a 40 in the left.
Well, astigmatism will affect vision across the whole range of distances.
Gotcha.
And so if the astigmatism is significant, that will affect his distance vision and it will affect his reading vision.
Yeah, they said the astigmatism was moderate, so the right was 1 3/4 and the left was 2 1/2. Does that ever get better, or once that eye shape is kind of, you know, you're born with that eye shape, that's just the way it is?
It usually doesn't change much. There's usually a variation in, from year to year when you get a prescription, but it's usually not a whole lot. But if he's got astigmatism of 2 diopters or 2 1/2 diopters, that's pretty significant. And if it was my child, I would certainly have them wearing glasses.
Thank you.
If that's the numbers, that's high enough to pay attention. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much, Jim. I really appreciate it.
Good luck.
Thanks, Jen. Clement in Stevens Point, your turn. Hello.
Hello. Yes, I'm calling. I got a question about my wife. She just went in for an eye exam.
Yeah.
And she was told to go see a neurologist because one of her eyes was not dilating or was not fixing correct for the new glasses that she was could be wearing. Is that something that you have heard of? Or?
Well, I do know that the eyes are literally and figuratively a window on the health of a lot of conditions that people have. And there are times, if people have a stroke, sometimes they have blurred vision or they have problems with their eyes. So if the doctor saw something there that suggested that you go to a neurologist, I think that's probably a very, very good...
good thing to do.
Yeah, I'd follow up on that.
No doubt.
Yep.
Oh, okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, good luck. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Mike in Green Bay, we're on to you now. Hi, Mike.
Hi, I'm calling about the notion that you get what you pay for, and there's such a disparity in the prices at different places. Can you speak to that?
Well, sure, I'd be happy to. Many times with a pair of glasses, people look at the total price they pay for it, and they think it's too much money for what they've got. If you're concerned about the price of the glasses, but you still want to see well, there's a lot of variations in the prices of frames. And many times the price of the frames is more than half of the cost of the whole pair of glasses. If you like a designer name, you want the current style, it's just like clothing. You can buy last year's style sometimes for 10 or 20% of what this year's styles are. And if it's not a designer, you can make that choice. So if you want to keep the price down, frames are the first place because you can find a lot of very good quality, sturdy frames, but maybe not the designer, at a relatively low price. When you get into lenses, there is a variation, and there are some good lenses and there's some bad lenses. And the difficulty that most consumers have is unless they pick a very reputable place to go to, they don't know what they're getting. And I recommend to people to go to some place that you feel that they're talking to you honestly and that has a good reputation. And, you know, you look around like you go into any place. If it looks clean and it looks like people know what they're doing, there's a better chance that they do know what they're doing. Ask your friends, you know, look at past experience, and then to a certain extent, you've got to pay what it comes out to.
Yeah. Yep. I had actually gone to a couple of different places and then finally went back, I think kind of at your suggestion in a way. I thought I'm going to go back to the optometrist to the glass place right at the medical center, and went there, and actually then I got fitted properly, and I got what I wanted on the first take, and it was, you know, $150 more than I might have paid elsewhere. But that was, a lot of that had to do with the frames and my wife's suggestion as to which frame I should have.
Sure.
Thanks, Mike. David in Viroqua, it's your turn. Hi, David.
Hi, I had a question about the coatings on some of the plastic lenses. I've had two pair of glasses from different sources in the past several years that were ultra-thin plastic, more expensive.
Yeah.
And within a year, the coating begins to delaminate from them, and then it's just attrition after that, and they become more and more opaque. And then eventually, after a long time and a lot of difficulty seeing through them, I begin to rub more and more off and make some nice clean spots in between the delaminating chunks of this material. And I was wondering if that's something Jim has seen that's unique to the thinner lens material, or if it's somewhat universal, or what to do about it. The glasses were from a reputable, well, they were from a branch of Gunderson Lutheran here in town, the optometrist there, I guess, so I thought it was reputable, but do you have any ideas on it?
I have seen that kind of a thing, and virtually every company that makes those coatings has a lifetime guarantee for the coating. Some of the newer, higher index materials that are made for this ultra thin, I know that periodically over the years, there's companies that have had trouble with the adherence of the coatings to those materials, but they've always had a lifetime guarantee on the coatings, so that the doctor where you got them should have been able to send them back to where he got them to get that replaced. I know that today the coatings, I see very, very little delamination on any materials today. And if it happens, the companies are eager to get them back so they can see what happened to them so that they can fix the process.
Well, that sounds all right, except giving up my glasses for a time, I guess, but I might try it. I had inquired before about it, and I had spectacles, of course, from another place, and I wasn't sure that they were sure about where to send them back to at that point because I was in another state. But I might try it with these in part for my glasses, my lenses for a while and see if they come back.
Yeah.
Yes, and it's a possibility if you really need the glasses that they could order the glasses or replacement lenses for you and then exchange them out at the store. That might be so you didn't have to wait a week for the glasses.
Well, that'd be ideal.
Yeah, that'd be ideal.
Thanks, you guys.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Bill in Wisconsin Rapids, we're on to you now. Hi, Bill.
Yeah, hi. I actually have two questions. The first one is I have a friend who wears contact lenses, but in fact, he wears the contact lenses at night, inserts them at night, takes them out in the morning, and doesn't wear them during the day. And the theory is that the contact lens reshapes the eyeball and changes the vision. And I was just calling to find out the validity of that, if you had any experience with that, and what circumstances where that works.
Well, I am familiar with it. There are some people that are successful with that. There's not a lot of people that are successful. You have to have a relatively low prescription. You have to have a certain kind of prescription where your eye can be reshaped in that way. But I have heard of, I mean, it's not that out there. It is being done. And I've heard of some very successful results with it. So, it's a possibility.
Yep. Then the other question was with regard to tinted glasses, transition glasses. I had the transition glasses probably about 10, 15 years ago, but the experience I had was when you first start out with them, it transitions back and forth pretty well, but as time progresses, that tint doesn't seem to go away as much, and so it's not as clear, and you seem to have tinted glasses all the time. Have they gotten better with that transition lens?
You bet. You bet. I'm wearing them right now. One of the problems that I had was not so much that they didn't get dark outside, but they stayed dark inside, and I didn't like that.
Yes, that's what my experience was as well.
There's a new generation that just came out. I think it's the sixth or seventh generation. They are virtually clear on the inside. They get dark very quickly outside. They are 100% UV blocking all times, whether they're dark or not. It's an excellent product, so I can highly recommend it. I wear it myself.
Thank you very much.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. Chick in Madison, it's by the way, on that, if you have a pair of glasses, can you send those glasses back and get that added in?
The transition cannot be added after the fact. It's made into the lens blank before the prescription is ground on it.
Okay. Chick in Madison, it's your turn now. Hi, Chick.
Hi. Hi. My situation is a bit different. I came to Madison at the age of 23, and after having passed six Navy flight physicals, and all except two of them, I was able to have 20/10 vision. And when I missed one letter, they made it 20/15. And within 2 months of coming to Madison, I started getting a queasy feeling in my stomach. Well, I'll skip the going to three different doctors who couldn't figure out the problem. I finally figured it out for myself. I went to an optometrist, and I got glasses. I was told that I was getting astigmatism and nearsightedness. And to shorten up a long story without leaving everything out, in the next 19 months, I had to have one or both lenses changed 8 times.
Whoa.
And after 3 return trips to the optometrist, I went to an ophthalmologist, an eye doctor, and he looks in my eyes, pulls down my eyelids, and he says, "You have granulated eyelids." And he burned them out 3 weeks in a row with silver nitrate, and then gave me a prescription for new glasses again. Well, every month or so, I had to have them changed, one or both lenses changed again. And within 6 months, I had the granulated eyelids again, and he burned them out 3 weeks in a row again. He wanted me to get a complete and thorough physical. So I went through a very good Madison clinic. And while I was in there, 3 different doctors in this clinic setting kept asking me what was different since I came to Madison. It turned out that I didn't know, but they should have. I found out about a month later when I was in the dentist chair again, and he was complaining about how hard my teeth were to drill and yet how fast they decayed. And he told me if I was a young boy growing up in Madison at that time, this wouldn't be the case. When he got the drill and his mirror and his fingers out of my mouth, I asked him why. He said, "Because we fluoridate the water." Mm-hmm. Well, I spent half a day very soon after that in the public library in Madison reading up on fluorides, and learned that the Russians were the first ones to fluoridate water.
Mm-hmm.
Shortly after the Russian Revolution, when they established those gulags.
And now we're starting to run out of time here, so
Okay, I'll close it up. I went to bottled water. I have been drinking bottled water now for 55 years, and I now I'm supposed to wear glasses for driving, but I do all of my reading and all of my computer work and everything else without glasses, and I can my eyes have gotten better. They went from 3 diopters of correction to now about half in one eye and one in the other eye.
Hmm. Well, Jim, I don't know. I've never heard of this.
I know of no connection between fluoride and visual issues, but this man apparently has got a story that connects them. So,
I've never heard of anything like that myself, but. You know what? it happened to this to Chick here, and so maybe it's happened to others. Who knows? Well, thanks for calling. Appreciate it, Jim. In the last minute here, anything you want to impart for last minute wisdom?
Well, just one thing that it's been a campaign of mine for a long time, and it's trying to explain to people the importance of getting an eye examination. Not just for eyeglasses, but for eye health. And there's one issue that I just became a grandfather again, and my daughter has a new baby, and she asked me when she should get eye exam for a new baby. And one of the things that's recommended by most everybody is by age 6 months. They check for how the eyes work together and some basic optics, but There's a whole list of ages that people should have their eyes examined, but a new baby, 6 months.
6 months. Jim, always a pleasure. I hope you'll come back and do this again. Appreciate it.
I'd be happy to.
Jim LaLuzerne of De Pere, Wisconsin. He's been with us a few times now on the program, past president of the National Optical Laboratories Association and a member of the Optical Hall of Fame. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store.